Okay, my number two.
Number two.
I think this I had to put on here because I realized how much I enjoyed this album simply because of the music. I mean, that sounds kind of silly to say, but I think sometimes when you buy a record, you buy it because of the artist it is. There's so many reasons why you can buy a record.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
Right? It's not necessarily always 100% the music. There's
right.
other things.
It's on sale.
It's on sale. It's something, well, everyone said that's good. Maybe I'll buy it, whatever.
Yes, yep.
But back to the point.
Number two.
Number two, Neon Bible, Arcade Fire.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little bit surprised. Yeah.
Yes, I am surprised because when you were when it originally came out and you were telling me about it, and
yeah.
I mean, I have the first one. I've listened to it,
yeah.
And I like them, and I like the style, and I love the singing style, and
yeah.
you know, and it's just how it's dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't rushed out to get the second one though, and you were saying that you still like the first one better, and originally, so I was surprised you have it on your list. Well, I mean, I'm not surprised you have it on your list, but I'm surprised it's number two.
Actually, yes. That's all true, except for one thing. I always like the second one better.
Oh!
I actually don't like the first one as much.
Oh, then maybe... Okay, then I remember that wrong. Okay.
Or maybe cool. I said it wrong in the past, because,
Well, obviously you said it wrong, because I never made mistakes. But actually, that's interesting, because I could have sworn you said it the other way, so I'm probably just...
Oh, okay,
heard
well...
It wrong. But anyways, tell me more about why you like this one so
I
much.
Really like this, because, it got me... And I'll say this about the number one pick as well, but it got me back into liking lyrics. Like, I looked at the lyrics when I listened.
Yeah.
And I forgot how much that can actually help you like a song.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
I thought, oh, the music's great. They're all great musicians. Obviously, he's a great singer. Wynn is his name. But every song in this album is... so melodically well done, and the words are so good. Mm. Like, no matter what the song was about, sometimes I don't even know what the song's about, but the words are like poems, but they're not pretentious. They just kind of get down to what they're talking about, and I just love it. Like, the musicianship is top-notch, I'm not a big Arcade Fire fan, actually. Part of what helped me like the album even more was seeing them.
Right, yes, you saw them this year, that's right.
Yeah. So that was a great opportunity, because everyone's saying what a great live band they were. And
right.
So that actually helped me go back to the album after and really kind of dig it even more. So it's one of the best albums that of all time to come out, I think, for the year, I think, like, for other countries too, not just Canadian albums. And I think they're just internationally renowned now. So, and I think there's a good reason for that. It's just really awesome songs, and there's no denying it. So I put that on my list.
Nice.
At number two, no less.
Number two.
Yeah. Wow. So I don't know. Are you like you said, you like them, right? But
yeah.
It wasn't like, I don't think I'll rush out to get their third album because of this. It's just like, I know I'll hear it.
Right.
And if I think this one was more cohesive than the first one. The first one, there's some great songs, but I think this
right.
one felt like a way more cohesive concept. So.
Well, and you know, the problem I had, not necessarily with that album, but I think with albums that have a cohesiveness that if you listen to them as a whole, you get a better appreciation of it. And the problem that I've had is that I shuffle all my songs in iTunes on my iPod, and you get 4,500 songs is what I have in mind.
Yeah.
And then you never get to hear it. Like, I should actually just, you know, take it off a shuffle, listen to a CD, listen to one album beginning to end and get that. Like, the Con, right? Tegan and Sarah, listened to that. And for some reason I listened to the whole album, but it was on, I was too lazy to get it off of the shuffle. So I didn't listen from one to whatever the end. I listened to like track three, track five, track two, you know, like, and I, And that kind of got to me. Anyways, that's another story for another day. But yeah, I should really start to actually listen to albums again. But
the
iPod has really gotten me to re-listen to music all over again. Like to be, actually, it's much more accessible than having a wall of CDs, which I have, and you don't pop it in. So I really thank it for reigniting my interest in music again. Yeah. But I have to just learn to make it bend to my will as opposed to bending to its will.
Sure, you're so true about that, because you could stare at your wall of CDs and you're just like, I don't know where to start, but then you're not, when you listen on your iPod or on iTunes or whatever, the songs are just there, you're listening to the song for the song, I find, more than ever before.
Yeah.
So that's a really good point, cool.
But anyways, my number two, I'm going to squeeze in two other movies into one point.
Okay.
Because I didn't realize I had failed elementary school counting.
Yes. You actually had six?
Had six things. but two movies that I really loved this year, and they came out this year. One was one I saw with you and Elaine once. I got the DVD from my sister for Christmas, the Simpsons movie, which actually should be my third movie on here.
That should be on.
Because it was so funny. But I watched it again two nights ago, I think it was, with my sister, and we had just had it on the DVD. And it just reminded me about the simplicity of filmmaking. I know a lot of people talk about this movie as being great, and they have it on a lot of people's lists, so it's not like, you know,
it's
not a shocker that it's on my list, too.
Right.
But what really caught me, I mean, when we originally saw it, I liked it because of the whole, just a snapshot of the music-making process and how people can be inspired by other people and create music that means something to them. I mean, you talked about the lyrics, and the lyrics are really strong in this movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watched it the second time, what really struck me, which is why I had to put it on this list, was that the female character was truly, I mean, it was well acted, and I'm sure it's true in real life, was a true fan of the guy and his music.
Okay.
You know, like she went out on a limb in terms of helping him get a loan to record that session, and, you know, negotiated down the session rate at the studio, and helped him get a suit, and helped him, you know, like, was such a big fan of his stuff, like, truly was. You know, people can just say, oh yeah, I like your music, but just don't do all that much, or, you know, but, or it's just lip service, or
yes.
People, they like it, but they don't love it to that degree that they'll do everything for you,
right?
Unless you pay them as a manager, right, kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, so I thought that was even more powerful, given the fact that, you know, at the beginning of the movie, he basically, tries to seduce her, and he says, you know, spend the night, and she goes,
I was shocked by that.
You know, and then she just leaves, right, because insulted. But what I loved is the next scene where it's the next day, and they're on the street, and she's selling her flowers, and and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I just wanted to say I was, you know, I fucked up, all I can say is, and he didn't really say I'm sorry, he just said, I'm just so lonely, and you're just so beautiful. Just fucked up.
Yeah. Which is crazy
just,
to say.
You know, just lay down the facts, you know.
Yeah,
I thought
that
was kind of neat. But so that movie I liked, particularly because of that. Like, it's just so rare when someone is such a true fan of someone else. I mean, whether it's their music or just you just like who they are as a person, like, it just came off really well, and I really enjoyed that.
That's
and
cool.
The other one was Juno, which I just saw.
Oh, so did we.
You guys saw it too, eh?
Loved it.
And all
so
I could
good.
Say was that it was just right.
It was real.
You know, and it could have been so pretentious, and it could have, like, the lines could have been just way over the top.
Yeah.
And Ellen Page was so brilliant. Like,
yeah,
when she talked
amazing.
About babies from China being shot out of t-shirt guns and,
I know.
You know, things like that. Like, I laughed so hard, and it was so delivered in a way that you didn't hate her. You know, you didn't think, oh, this woman is just so
brat or whatever.
Or just, this is not a real person.
Right.
So
believable.
Yeah, it was, I couldn't believe it, and the tic-tac thing, and
he's so good, too,
yeah,
huh? Like, I can't, I just remember thinking, like, oh, he's just like, oh, you know, we could get back together, and, you know, we can maybe get back together, and she's like, when we not, and he's like, well, you know, and it's just, that's the way sometimes they talk, like, we talk at that age, you
right.
know?
And he said, What did he say? He said, oh, she said, oh, you know, you're kind of cool and you don't know it. You're not even trying. You know, he's like, no, I'm trying really hard to be cool. Yeah, I don't know. That was too funny.
Classic.
Yeah, and just, I mean, not just the way he talks, but the way she talks, you know, when you're that age, I remember being 16 or whatever and thinking I knew what the world was. I mean,
yes.
I mean, we argue about Before Sunrise and how you couldn't stand the way the dynamic was. And I said, well, you know, when you're in your 20s, you think you know the world, and you explain the world as if you've lived in the world for
right.
80 years and you know everything and you're
right.
a smartass.
Try to sound wise.
And try to sound wise. And that's exactly what he was doing in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's sort of what Ellen Page is doing, or her character, Juno, is doing in this movie.
Yeah.
And it's just so endearing, you know? It's really well done. And then the last line, and I'm going to stop, is when she says that when she realized that she loves him, and she loves him because, I mean, in part because he loves her.
Yes.
And because she was saying that everyone looks at her tummy, but he looks at her face.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at her. And I thought that was a really nice sentiment to be said in this kind of context in this movie. And I thought that was really neat.
I was actually touched by that scene more than anything else in it. That scene was very real. And sometimes you could say, oh, well, I can't see 16-year-olds saying that
right.
to each other. But I think you can after
yeah.
you see this. So.
Oh, and I guess we should have done some sort of spoiler alert. But anyways.
Oh, yeah.
So if you haven't seen it, sorry. but
have to see
but
it.
But go see it. And the last thing I'll say about Juno is, and my sister knows I'm going to tell the story, is that, and the movie was over, and the lights came out on the Fifth Avenue cinemas, I got up and started putting my jacket on, and behind my sister and I, we were in the balcony, right? And
cool.
behind us, there was three people, two women and a man, who were watching the movie as well. And as I got up to put on my jacket, the woman, one of the women sitting behind me, tapped on my shoulder and said, I just wanted to tell you, I love your laugh. Because you know me, when I laugh,
that's
I just
nice.
Laugh. And I was so touched by that. It was really, really
that's
nice.
That's actually one of the nicest things you can say to people.
And I mean, you know that I'm somewhat self-conscious about my laugh. In
As
some
I
ways.
Am sometimes, yeah.
I mean, especially our levels in this podcast.
Yes.
but especially with movies, and I mean, the one story that I've shared with you before, I think, if you remember, is just when early on when my... old relationship, I was seeing Mighty Aphrodite. Remember that Woody Allen movie?
Woody Allen, yeah.
And
Mira
Sorvino,
Sorvino.
She won an
yeah.
Oscar for that. And we were watching this movie, matinee, first day it was out, and I laughed really
sure.
hard. And my girlfriend at the time, the ex, was completely embarrassed by my laughter. She thought I was laughing
That's
too hard.
Hard.
And I've always been self-conscious about that ever since, but...
But no more.
No more.
Good on ya.
Sorry, but that's my number two.
That's great.
And
that's a great number two.
Number twos.
Yeah, sorry.
Multiple
plural.
Twos. And now it's so funny. We're like, oh, as long as we get it under an hour. We're at 43 minutes now.
You know what? I think this one we're just have to just keep doing it until we've finished.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll keep going here.
Okay.
And
you know what? I want to go to my number one, because I want to save your number one.
Are
because,
you sure?
Yes, because
oh, okay.
I have no chronological order
sure.
or priority order.
Okay.
And I know you do, so I want to have yours at the very end. So
okay.
The number one for me is a song.
Oh,
okay?
Very good.
And maybe it is my priority, I don't know, but I was so enthralled by this song this year, and it's an old song. I forget when it was recorded. It's from Nancy Wilson Cannonball Adderley album that he did. The album is called Nancy Wilson and Cannonball Adderley, and the song is called "Save Your Love for Me."
Okay,
and it is just a crisp recording.
Yeah,
just one of those classic jazz standards you think about. And I've never really been I've never not been a fan of Nancy Wilson, but I've known her as a singer, and she
mm-hmm.
does. Sing very well,
mm-hmm.
but I've never been like a huge fan like I have been with, let's say, Shirley Horn, right? Or
yeah.
Ella Fitzgerald or
not
something.
On the top
right?
of your list.
And she sings this song, and I wish we could have a clip or something, but you know, we'll put a link to a soundbite of it or something, right? On our website, thedotmatrix.com. but there was such sophistication in the lyrics, in the delivery,
okay.
like. you could tell this woman was singing with confidence. Like, she knew who she was. She was so sure of what she wanted to say in the song, or that this song was speaking to her, you know? And there's such, like, I just fell in love with that confidence. And I discovered it because I was borrowing my sister-in-law's car, mm-hmm. and they have a satellite radio, and the song just played, and it just got me. It's just like smoky kind of. If you're in a jazz club, it's midnight. Yeah. You've got a drink, and up comes up this woman, and she just sings this such a classy song.
That's cool.
You know, like I have it. Every time it comes onto my iTunes and shuffle, I listen to it, and then I listen to it again.
That's cool.
It's brilliant.
You have
I love
to
it.
Show me that track.
Okay.
It's funny you mention about Cannonball, I'll just say this quickly, is that he's actually, I can't think of a record where he wasn't recorded so pristinely. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I don't know if that's a word for those of you out there, the experts.
Yeah.
Very pristine, crisp recordings.
Yeah.
I actually got, earlier this year, I think I told you, the album Know What I Mean, with Cannonball Adderley and Bill Evans.
Yes.
Another great, wicked, beautifully recorded album. Totally record. Did I get you a copy of that yet? I'll get that and Neil Young for you. That is awesome. That's a great story.
But that's my number one.
That's your done? Okay.
So, Sean. I think I know what this is, but you're going to have to tell me.
Drum roll. Hopefully that wasn't too loud. Well, funny enough, you already mentioned it. Did you know you mentioned it?
I had a feeling.
Yeah, of course you did. Because it is the most amazing album I think I've heard in years. Before I say what it is, let me just say this. I can't give it enough praise because this album, like, it changed how I feel about music. It had that much of an impact.
Wow, you can't tell, but my eyes just lit up, sorry.
I'll say why, and
hopefully
please. This doesn't sound too dramatic, but...
Oh, I hope it does.
Okay. The reason is because I think we're in an age of just albums, millions of albums come out every year.
Yes.
Even bands you love, they come out with more and more albums, and you can almost kind of get into mediocrity, you know?
Right.
And it's, even if it's a band you really love, you're like, oh, a new album came out, cool, it's pretty good.
Right.
Nothing really hit me with a record, you know? This, when I heard this, I was like, even though I was anticipating the release, and I really loved the record before, when I heard it, I was like, I got so excited, like, the first records I heard as a child. Like,
okay.
That kind of impact. Like,
wow.
Where I wanted to know every word sung. I wanted to know every instrument. Like, I had an idea of my head of what every note that every instrument was
right.
playing and how they were feeling when they wrote the songs. And I say they.
Yes.
How this album kind of... fits into how we live our lives. Like, all of that. Like,
wow.
I'm so moved by it.
Wow, that's powerful, actually, when you think about an album so much that you think about how it infiltrates other areas of your life or how it speaks to those things.
Yeah.
You know, that's really powerful. And I know people who are listening going, what is it? What is it?
Okay, and that is The Con by Tegan and Sarah. And, yay... I don't know if all of our listeners will know who they are.
We should send them an award of some kind.
Yeah.
You know, they were number one.
Well, hopefully, I don't know if they'll ever hear this podcast, but if they do, I want them to know they did a great job with this record. And they are Canadian, of course, and Tegan and Sarah are sisters, twin sisters. One of them, Tegan lives in Vancouver, Sarah lives in Montreal. So they write songs separately, I believe, and then they come together to make records. And they made The Con, and it came out in July, and I think it's just a fabulous album.
Yeah, and we could have gone to the show together.
I know! And they came in September at the Commodore, and I went, but Justin had to go to a wedding, which is all good.
Yes, not my wedding.
Not yours. A wedding.
A wedding.
Which I understand was very fun. So
yes.
I think... next time they come, we'll have to go.
Oh, absolutely.
Because they are amazing performers.
Yeah.
They are funny as hell.
Yeah.
They are so funny. And every song in this album is just... They're about relationships. They're just about how they feel about themselves, probably. Who knows? That's things I kind of got from it. It's just powerful.
Yeah. There's one song in particular, and I can't remember the name of it, but I listened to it like 5 times in a row when it came on. And I forget what the lyric is now. I wish I knew it.
Okay.
It's later on in the album.
Okay.
And I forget what the lyric was, and it just struck me, and I listened to it 5 times. And that's, again, when you talked about the lyrics, right?
Yeah.
That song, and I can only remember, because I'm old and I'm losing my mind, that I can't remember the topic of the song or what the line was, but it struck me.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the same kind of thing in the last podcast when I was trying to tell a very impactful story about the constant gardener and the line there, and I totally fucked up that story.
No, that was good.
Like, it's the same kind of reaction I had when I heard the line in that lyric, in that song, and I was like, wow, that took me somewhere.
Yeah, and that's what every song does. Lyrically, it's so strong. They're some of the best lyric writers to come along in ages, and they're just very good at just marrying good words with very strong melodies, and just crafting, like, amazing pop songs. So I could go on and on, but I think people just out there just need to hear it and just kind of get it. It didn't hit me right away, though, I'll say. Because they're doing some different things on this one. But I've heard it a few times, the whole album. And before I knew it, I was listening to it every day. Like, every day I had to hear some part of it. So, it's just very meaningful. It just means a lot to me. Like, when I think of that record, I get happy.
Nice!
Yeah. It's kind of one of those things where there's a friend you have, you know, who's always sticking by you. It's kind of like yourself.
I mean, that's the point to me, but I know that sentiment, absolutely.
Yeah. And then you put on the record, and you're like, that's there. No one can take away the joy I feel when listening to it.
Nice.
Or... I don't know if that's kind of gone overboard, it means that much. So that's why it's number one. It's the best album that I've heard in 2007.
Wow.
Yep. That's so very
awesome.
Good.
Wow.
Yeah. So there we have it.
Wow.
I hope that was worth the wait.
Yes, 52 minutes waiting. So we've got about 7.5 minutes left before we hit the hour mark.
Oh,
so
wow.
I'd
okay.
love to just make it a nice hour. Would be great. As,
why not?
As Cheryl was saying, if we could make it last from downtown to Coquitlam on the whatever the
on
V-line
the
V-line,
yeah.
Then that would be great.
So now she has on the way back.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So next time she goes to H&M.
Which I have to check out one day. Maybe I should go with her next time.
Maybe. We should all go and just test and have like the iPod. Yeah.
Cool, okay.
We'll call you, Cheryl. you have your top news story, your top event of the year.
Yeah.
Right? And I put together, it's a list, really, but it's just, I'm thinking about highlights of the year that I've had, you know, like I was saying in the last podcast, this is the year of Justin, and so I wanted to reminisce on some of those things, not to be self-centered or anything, but I think it's kind of a nice thing to do, and maybe we could end it with actually, I think we should, I'll muse a little bit about my year.
Okay, do it.
And then you tell us what you think is the biggest thing that happened this year.
Okay.
And then I think we should do a little, not prognosticating, but, and not resolutions, I'm not into New Year's resolutions, but...
Yeah,
but
been done.
Thinking something to, like, look for, like, something you're going to commit to yourself for 2008.
Okay.
And I'll do the same, so...
Okay, cool.
I think that, for me, the reason why I say that is because that's, to me, the big highlight for 2007 is at the beginning of the year, I didn't do a highlight. I didn't do a resolution.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to say I'm going to lose 10 pounds or I'm going to get into shape or whatever. I said to myself, and I freaked out my sister, and I told you the story, where I said, I said, in 2007, I'm going to commit to myself to realize that I wasn't happy, you know, and that by admitting to myself that I wasn't happy, I could hopefully open doors to make changes, right? And I didn't know why I wasn't happy. I mean, there's a lot of reasons why, but I was always afraid to admit that because, you know, I'm living a decent life. I'm living in a nice home. Mm. I always have food on my plate. You know, it's maybe it's a middle class guilt. I don't know what it is, but like I didn't feel like I had any right to admit to myself that I'm not happy, right? But if you never admit, you never change.
And that's just it. Right? I think we're being made to think that be happy with what you have. You don't have the right to bitch.
Right.
But anyway, go on.
And I think there is a point to being happy with what you've got. Like,
absolutely.
A lot of people don't do that. But
yeah.
At the same time, when you're not happy, you can't just pretend you're happy, right?
Well, exactly, yeah.
And of course, I said it to my sister, and she thought I was suicidal. But, but no, right? And of course, yeah. I didn't know now at the beginning of the year that at the end of the year, everything would have happened to change my life in so many ways. One, I'm a bus user now, as opposed to a car driver,
right.
Which has been a big change. And you know, you've known me for years, decades, and you never would have thought that would happen.
I can honestly say it.
Yeah. And I didn't, of course, it wasn't on my own accord. I got into a car accident, so you know.
Thankfully, you weren't hurt.
Thankfully, I wasn't hurt. So that's been it slowed down my life a little bit, like you know, like in a good way. Like you know, you take time.
Yeah.
Right?
You do.
And of course, Italy has been an amazing... that came into my life, going into this cooperative studies course in Bologna and spending another 2 weeks to really get to listen to myself and everything. I won't go into a huge diatribe about that, but just that I realized that, one, I could, you know, learn a lot about myself, about taking chances and what my limits were, and just the importance of stepping away from your life, whatever that means... Mm-hmm. And having some time to yourself on a regular basis. So I've committed to going on a trip every year, whatever that means, wherever that is, I don't know. But like it's not to go somewhere where you know people, but
right.
You know, go somewhere where you don't know people.
Okay.
And whether or not it's I'm going to be traveling with friends or with a significant other that doesn't exist at the moment, or you're just on my own, or whatever. But it has to be something that. In many ways, that disconnects me from life. So in some ways, it almost has to be alone in some senses, right?
Sure.
Like, I mean, not that I would...
Solitary, yeah.
You know, but, you know, so you're not going there for a reason, but you're just going there to not think about your life, right?
Okay.
So they get some of that clarity.
Very cool.
But the one thing I do want to say about Italy is I actually had a very... One of those moments where you're like... You know when you're traveling and you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm doing this, right? And that was my first day when I was in the Lake Como area, mm-hmm. and on the ferry from Verona, I forget the name, to Bellagio, and on a ferry. And I'm sitting there, standing there at the sort of the second deck of this small little ferry, and it's sunshine, a little bit of clouds, water, and the ferry's getting towards Bellagio, and you see all these old Italian buildings. And I actually got a bit teary-eyed. I was like,
I can't believe
I'm doing this.
Yeah.
I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe I've actually said on my list, Lake Como was one of the places I wanted to go to, and now I was there.
Right,
like,
on.
I had that one moment of realization, and
cool.
that was really cool. But, and one thing I do want to say about the highlight of the year has been this podcast. I'm so glad that we're doing this, you know?
Yes.
Like,
it's been a lot of fun, and it will continue to be an amazing thing.
And I value our connectivity, our dialogue, our friendship. Like, it's been amazing how many decades it's been and how strong it still is, and that's very rare.
I
just wanted to say that out loud to everyone to know.
So they're definitely feeling the man love going on. you know, it was actually important you mentioned that, because I think we're on decade 3.
Yes.
And and we're talking full decades, not just a couple years in the first one. We're talking like all through the 80s, all through the 90s, and now we're going strong in the 2000s. So.
I don't have a conscious moment when I don't think about a conscious memory of a time when I don't can't remember, I know for sure I didn't know you know what I mean? Like, it's weird.
No, I think we're just too young.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. And, it strikes you as like, wow, like when you actually think about that and you think about when we talk on here, that it's an extension of what we do normally.
It is.
And,
cool.
And look how much we learn about each other.
By
doing this at the same time. Right. So
exactly.
That's really cool.
And I like that too, because like we've known each other for all these years, yet we still kind of discover and we get interested in, oh, really? Or, you know, like,
yeah.
You know, those kind of things, you know? I like that that we don't get completely bored out of our skull with each other.
Well, when you mentioned the painting, I thought that was really cool, because you know how much I love visual arts.
Yes, yeah.
And so I thought, I was like, wow, yeah, okay, I can't wait to hear about that. So that was very cool, thank you.
Cool.
Yeah, I was really into that. Did you want to continue?
The last thing I wanted to mention, and it's an event, and just because it happened so recently, is Oscar Peterson.
Oh,
I just have to mention,
yeah.
I know, I don't want to end my little segment, and now we're into an hour, and I'm sorry about that,
no,
everyone.
That is quite all right.
But hopefully you still have a few more stops before your bus has reached its destination, Cheryl. sorry, she's going to hate us. But yeah, it was the shockingest news. I mean, it was not shocking, because, I mean, people have to pass on. Like, it's just part of life and is death. But losing Oscar Peterson as just someone who loves music just in its entirety, as much as you love music in its entirety.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just jazz.
It's
like, it's a musical icon. It's not just Canadian music. It's a...
all-encompassing.
It's a man of such depth, of such creativity, of such musical talent.
Yeah.
I mean, hands down, one
such
of the best
integrity.
Piano players ever. Integrity.
Yeah.
Always, you know, and... I mean, just because we're Canadian, he was Canadian, I mean, that's not the point, right? I mean, and I do find it proud that, you know, he made it big and he was world famous, and yet he never once moved out of his home country. He lived in Montreal for years, and
that's
then,
really special.
You know, Toronto, Mississauga for the majority of his later life. I mean, not just to slag any other country, like, you know, where he probably could have made a lot more money or made even more albums. I mean, how can you make more than 200?
Over 200,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
How many more can you make, right? but you know, but just to have such a dedication for home and to understand what home is like. And, I mean, he's not a man you want to put on your pedestal in that who's perfect. I mean, he freely admitted to his shortcomings in his family life, you know, mm-hmm. touring all the time, and you read some of his stories or books or stories about him or his books, autobiography, or some of the documentaries that are
no
out
one's,
there.
No one's flawless.
Yeah. And he's open about that. And I love that. Like,
I like that,
you know,
too, yeah, yeah.
Like, you don't want to sugarcoat stuff. And no. I love it when, and he's not saying it to try to get sympathy. He's saying it as, this is a lesson I learned.
Sure.
You know, and I love people who can express themselves in that way, in that honesty, and not feel like, oh, he's trying to get attention. He's trying
yeah.
to, you know,
yeah.
Which is exactly what, you know, the whole extras and Ricky Gervais was trying to sort of say in the Christmas special.
Okay.
That's kind of the message in the end, right?
Cool.
Is that, you know, we have our lives, we don't have to live it in public, but we have lessons that we want to learn about, and we learn about, we have lessons that we learned in our lives, and we want people to know what they are, not because we want sympathy, but because it's kind of a powerful thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But anyways, that's going back to the list. But that's Oscar, and I've been listening to everything. Actually, I bought... I think off of iTunes just today.
Oh, cool.
Oscar Peterson plays Gently or Quietly? I can't remember what it was.
Is that a compilation?
No, it's from 1951. It's
wow.
Just, and it's just really simple piano and trio from the Herb Ellis, Ray Brown days.
Okay.
Anyways,
awesome. Yeah,
I just wanted to mention that.
I'm glad you did mention that, actually, because two things about Oscar for me was that... Well, about the gentle piano playing, I read that Hank Jones, who's still around... yes, we have a visitor, Justin.
5 minutes ago?
Yeah, dinner? Sounds good. We'll wrap this up. Thank you, Elaine.
That's
thanks,
hilarious!
I'll say this very quickly, and...
that's so funny! I just had to say that was so funny.
That was new for us. That was awesome. I'll leave my event of the year, actually.
Really?
For the next episode. Because
okay.
I felt that I need to mention this about Oscar.
Okay.
And I was mentioning how Hank Jones said something that not a lot of people ever point out, and he said it that way too, is that the soft, melodic songs he actually had a touch for that few did. And
people
that
don't,
is very true.
And people don't think about him in that way.
No, and one thing that Bob Ray said, his friend, which is totally cool, fine.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was
odd for people who don't know it, but,
yeah.
You know, which is basically everyone except for Bob Ray and Oscar Peterson, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But anyways,
He noted that after Oscar had his stroke in 1993, he became much more of a composer. than he was before, but right. even more so. And I think when you listen to those records since then, some of which we have, I think you have quite a few of them,
mm-hmm.
A lot of those songs are actually soft, gentle songs. So it's interesting that you point that out with that album you just got. I'd like to hear that, because I really like his style in that sense. And the last thing I was going to mention is that Oscar Peterson is part of our bond. And with our other music-loving friends as well. We have always wanted to see Oscar, and you actually had the pleasure to see him twice.
Twice, yes.
The second time I got to join you, so that was great. Or was that the...
The second time, yeah.
That
the
was
first
the second time.
My friend Giselle and I went and saw him in Montreal.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And seeing him a second time was really powerful because he was reinvigorated. Like,
yes.
The first time was great, but the second time you could see a different spirit.
Almost like a late fire.
Yeah.
So that was great. So,
Charles and Cheryl we were there with. Yeah.
Oh.
That's right.
That's, oh my goodness.
Yes.
Holy crap. That's so true. So I just wanted to mention that, you know, that's part of, he's part of our development.
Yeah.
So, it's very sad he's gone, but everyone out there, keep listening to his records, because he's the best.
So I think we should end it there, and we'll I'll think of one too, about what the event of the
That'd
year
good,
was,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
we can riff on that in our next podcast,
yeah.
and then also talk about what we want to commit ourselves to in 2008. You know?
Okay,
like,
we'll go further in that.
Yeah, and take that topic on, because... We have to go for dinner now,
Elaine
has mentioned.
We
to
are
us.
Late for the restaurant.
That is so funny. But anyways, hope you've enjoyed this. This has been great. This is great.
I think this is my favorite so far.
Yeah.
So,
hopefully this has been a favorite for everyone.
I think they'll dig it, and I hope they do. And,
it shall
you
be
know,
dug.
Like we mentioned with music, you know, take some time with it. Don't listen to it all at once if you don't want to.
Yeah.
We've got more, just, what, an hour and 6 minutes, 7 minutes, so... I'll leave it there.
Cool.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Sean.
And we'll see you guys in 2008.
Yes.
Take care of yourselves.
Have a great New Year's.
Be gentle.
Yeah. Oh, I can't say any more than that.
All right. Bye.